when Jim started talking that that Andrew has gotten a lot younger, I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't preach. Maybe I would let David preach then to make the whole transition. And also was thinking, when I was 25, I was already a pastor. And looking at you, I could think, oh, yeah, I did look young when I was 25 and pastoring a church. I have a testimony to give. First of all, I'm glad that Tim is back from Africa. Yes. And also was thinking this morning about Mount Everest. And Joanne told me that her daughter is in over there. So we praying that they'll come back good. And also, like, we are praying for Tim to come back dealing with the animals. I saw the pictures that you put on Facebook, so they were very interesting. And I also have a good testimony this week myself. As you know, I have had car troubles. I fixed them quite a couple weeks ago, but still have to fix slowly the car, and I ran out of money. And I have to pay Stringyard, because Stringyard is a program that you have to, it's easier for you to stream to the internet. And I do a lot of Bible studies in Spanish. And I ran out of money and said, Lord, if you are okay with what I'm doing, you have to pay. That's what I said to the Lord, but you have to pay. I'm doing it for you, so it's all about you. And on Wednesday, I got the first email saying, we cannot charge your car. Your car doesn't have enough money. You're going to lose your account. You're going to lose all your things. I said, okay, yeah, 6 a.m. 11 a.m., we have again try. We are not able to charge you, and so you're going to lose everything. And I happened to write to a person, not to ask money, but just to say hello, because they had a tragedy in the family. I just wanted to check on them. And they said, oh, brother, I want to give you a blessing. And, okay, fine. I'll accept it. But when the blessing came back, it was a $500 blessing. I had to pay $730. I still was $200 short. And then somebody from Switzerland sent money. From Switzerland. Somebody's looking at my videos from Switzerland. Okay. And then somebody else from here, Australia, also gave money. So I only have to pay $50 out of the $730 I have to pay. So I said to the Lord, well, Lord, you really do answer prayer, yeah? I mean, I don't think that I was praying. I was saying, Lord, if you support me, you have to pay. And the Lord is good. And that's not the only thing that happened in my life. I was giving my testimony one of these days, along with my wife. I remember when we were kicked out of the church in Barron, yes, because of standing for biblical truth. And I can say that my wife got a big worry about me, because they kicked me out of the church. They kicked us out of the men's. I didn't do anything. And my wife was telling me, why are you not looking for anywhere for us to live? Don't you care? If the Lord brought us here, he's going to provide. And truthfully, like 2 or 3 days after, somebody called from somewhere in New South Wales that they'll give us a house for free. I didn't ask. I didn't ask anybody. I just asked the Lord. Lord, if you are in charge, you take care of us. And I know that puts a lot of pressure on my wife and my kids. because I'm sort of a radical believer. But the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful, my brothers and sisters. The Lord has, and when it looks like he has left us, he hasn't. When the Lord asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, Abraham took his son, his only son, the same word that the Bible uses for Jesus. It's like me taking David up the mountain, and the Lord told me, you have to sacrifice him. My only son. And I said, that you have the oil, you have I'm carrying the wood, but where's the sacrifice? You're it. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. So let us trust in the Lord. So it's been a quite couple of weeks of trusting, Lord, where is this? Of not being able to sleep so much because the thoughts are going in my head. So the Lord is great. Amen. I don't know. Maybe you have your own testimony to come and tell us. Prepare for next week, because the Lord is good, and I like that today we saw the Prince of Egypt, and you're gonna see that we're gonna talk about how to give our kids the faith. One thing that I always tell my kids is, we were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord came and redeemed us. Let us open our Bibles then. And if you already have them open in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. I'm gonna talk about many things about the Bible. So you better keep your and there's five if you wanna keep up with the reading, there are five copies of what I'm saying today. So what we read how the two disciples are walking, and I wanna specifically talk about the Bible, what the Bible is for us. Verse 44 of Luke 24. This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that it is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. This is how the Jews used to talk about Old Testament, the whole thing. It was divided, not like we divide the Old Testament. How? Who remembers? What comes first? The books of Moses, then historical books, then the poetry books, the wisdom books, and then big prophets, which are four, which I don't know why they put Daniel in it. Daniel's small, but anyway, because the Septuagint has in the, they included in the Septuagint in the Greek Bible, it was included. And then we have the minor prophets. And why are they called minor prophets? Sometimes because you can have in one page, yeah, but they you can just get one scroll and they fit in one scroll. So we have divided the Old Testament in five. But the Jews don't do it. They do Torah, the law, Nevi'im, the prophets, which Joshua is in the prophets. It's different from us. Joshua is in the prophets. To give an example, Nevi'im and Ketuvim, which is the rest of the scriptures. So Jesus is appealing not to tradition, not to the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish council. And there's many Sanhedrins. We think that there's only one in Jerusalem. There was one in Samaria, one in Babylon. He doesn't appeal to that. He appeals to what? To Scripture. I was going to talk about Scriptura alone. Scripture alone. That's one of the Reformation slogans. That we go only by Scripture. Nothing else. Not by what a pope or a big leader of ours said in the past. We go by what this says. Yes? And we as Baptists, some Baptists are very radical too. They said, no, there's nothing but this. Nothing but this. No tradition, no magisterium, no reasoning sometimes. But Jesus telling us that everything written about him is because it's based in the Bible. Everything. And he quoted scripture. He quoted scripture. He quoted scripture time and time again. I have talks with Roman Catholics on the internet, like debates. And my talks, they don't like it because my talks are very short. Because when they want to convince me, you should come back to the Mother Church. And I ask them. And I ask anybody. What can you give me that Jesus hasn't given me already? Can you tell me, please? Can you tell me one thing? But you are not part of the church. All right, okay. What does the Bible say? Who's part of the church? Those who are saved. Okay. And how do you become saved? By accepting Jesus, by confessing Jesus with your heart. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. Okay. I believe that. According to the Bible, according to what's here, where am I going? Heaven. Can you offer me, can you do me a better offer then? Can you do me a better offer? And that's what they don't like debating with me, because I said, that's it. You cannot offer me anything better. Jesus is the center of it all. Jesus is the center. So he quotes scripture all the time. And I like the next verse, 45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Do we pray to the Lord that he can open our minds to understand the scripture? John Calvin used to say, and then Karl Barth said it, and they criticized him because of that. But Karl Barth said it first. This is paper. This is paper. Unless the Spirit opens our minds. That's why even Paul prays for the church at Colossae, I think. I pray for your eyes to be open so you can understand the scriptures. Of course, Lewis just read a 700 pages book about Second Temple Judaism, so I understand a lot of stuff. But I want to learn about Jesus. I want to have a relationship with him. I just don't want to know. Because you can know everything about somebody. I don't know, who do you follow? Taylor Swift. You know, she's the number one person right now. Bob doesn't agree. Good. Good, Bob. Self-preservation. she's the person of the year, yeah? In Time Magazine, person of the year. And a lot of people follow her. And I've seen people that have the room full of Taylor Swift stuff, yeah? I don't know. I don't know if you have a Nido, maybe Elvis. Huh? And you have or K-pop, yeah, some people very familiar at home. So you can know a lot about somebody, but you don't have a relationship with them. They don't even know you exist. So a lot of people can know about Jesus. A lot of theologians, there's a big theologian in the U.S., Bart Ehrman. I admire him. He knows the Greek back and forth. He knows everything. But he lost his faith. He doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. So you can go to seminary. You can be the best of the best of the best. Yet, you don't have any relationship with the person we're talking about. Why are you studying so much about Jesus if you don't want to have a relationship with him? Nonsense. Why are you spending thousands and thousands of hours of your life, yet you don't know Jesus? So we have to pray for him to open our understanding of scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnessing of these things. I am going to send you what my Father had promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high. But this is what I wanted to go back. Verse 37. Let me see. 32. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and open the scripture to us? I don't know how you come to church Sunday. Again. I have to listen to Andrew. And Andrew's away. I have to listen to Lewis now. He doesn't speak as nice as Andrew, because Andrew has a nice English accent while Lewis has an awful accent. I have to pay more attention to listen to him. Sometimes he starts talking and he doesn't finish the sentence, because that's why I record myself. Because he wants to jump onto another theme. Yeah, I'm my worst critic. I know what I'm doing. I know what I do. I know my Lewisms. Pastor Lee used to call that Lewisms. And I try my best. Like, I have Kathleen to know. I mean, a lot of you have been here for a long time. I have improved, yeah, Kathleen, a little bit. Okay, thank you. Oh, you're such a merciful congregation. I love you. So how do you come to church? Are you coming, oh, we're going to learn something new, or I'm going to be encouraged to listen to this? In The Simpsons, Homer Simpson said, don't you know when we're going to listen to Captain, what's his name? When they come to church, when they come to see hear the pastor or the people who are going to be preaching soon, we're going to have some other preachers here. How do we come to church? Is our heart burning? Yes, Lord, talk to me today, please. Holy Spirit, open my eyes, open my heart. Scripture is foundational for God's plan. What's the scripture? The Bible says in Ephesians 6:17, that is our sword. I'm a Star Wars fan. I can imagine that if Paul would be writing today, he is our lightsaber. It will be our lightsaber. He cuts. And you've seen that in Star Wars, the lightsaber can do everything, can cut everything. So the word of God is a sword. And then in Hebrews 4:12, it says that it's a double-edged sword. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Again, you cannot read this without feeling sometimes guilty, without feeling sometimes happy of the promises. Sometimes it consoles you if you're going through grief, if you lost someone, if you're sick. So the word has a personal relationship with us. It is not a book that we keep in the house to be used when needed. See, we even have pew Bibles here. So it used to be like everybody at the front of the church, you know. And I know, that's why I bring my Bible, because I'm used to it. I like picking this up. If you go to my house, in my room, where I have my computer, I have three Bibles here. If you go to the garage, in front of the other computer, I have three Bibles there. I even have the Westminster Catechism on one side. I have the Catholic Catechism on the other side. I have the Baptist Confession of Faith on the side. Because I want to know what other people think about this. I'm not the only one walking, trying to serve the Lord. But this is our sword. Our sword. And you have to use it with care. See, a sword can kill, but it also can defend. But I want to talk about young kids. Or young people. Not specifically. And yesterday, when I was preparing, and when Kathleen... she said, because I sent something. I think we were watching, we were looking at it. There's a PDF or PowerPoint. When Kathleen wrote to me and said, I, "Are you doing this?" And I opened the Bible right in Psalm 119, and it says, "How can a young man or a young person keep his way pure? By living according to your word." By living according to your word. How can you keep your way pure? Not only young men or young women, everybody. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Do you delight in the decrees of the Lord? Love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes that's so hard to do. And for us husbands, love your wife as you love your own body. Sometimes that's also hard to do. Because we love ourselves too much. But we have to delight in keeping God's word. An example for young people. I'm going out with my bros. And we're going to have a good time. And everybody's having a good time. And yet you remember that you're not supposed, the Bible tells us not to get drunk or commit debauchery. And you're the party poopa because you're not having fun. You see how different fun is for those who follow the Lord than from those who follow the world? And I've been through it. I was young once, long, long time ago. And I was given, I remember when I was 12, I was 11. And it was the first time they offered me drugs at school. Hey, you know, this is, and they were all laughing. They were like, taking marijuana or something. And they say, hey, Louis, you want some? I said, no. Yeah, but join us. No. Oh, don't be bad. Don't be a bad sport. And yeah, it was very hard. But it doesn't only affect the young people. It also affects other people. You want to join, you want to run with the world. No, we have to keep the decrees of the Lord. Also, what makes you happy then? The Bible says that it's not gold. Oh, I wanna have the best job in the world. I mean, I wanna be an investor in Wall Street or ASX here in Australia. Yes, ASX, because I have to check with the people who know. That's not gonna make you happy. A great deal of depression. The people who work in those places where they're making a lot of money quickly in 1 hour they can make $10 million, $100 million. But those people get a lot of depression. A lot of them take their lives. That doesn't bring us happiness. It's keeping the word of the Lord. Also, let us remember the power of the word of the Lord. How God made heavens and earth? Well, he killed Tiamat. No, this is not it. This is the Babylonian creation story. That the main God killed this other God, and from her body, he made the heavens and earth. No, God didn't do that. What did he say? Let it be. And God said, let there be the waters, and let there be the firmaments, the light of the day, the light of the night. Let there be people. By his word, this thing has power. Whatever comes out of the word of the Lord comes out of his mouth has power. Can create. And then, how was Abraham justified? How was Abraham justified? Who can tell me? All good Protestants. Yeah? All good Protestants here. How was Abraham justified?
By faith.
By faith, by believing in whose word? In God's word. We are justified by faith. And what did he, and what did the Lord promise Abraham? What if? Yes, that he was going to be a dad. That he was going to be a dad. And how old was he when he got the promise? 90. And he had to wait 10 years more to make sure that he couldn't have kids. And how old was Sarah? 90 years old. And where have you seen a 90-year-old lady having a baby? I asked my wife, do you want another one? She's 50. No, thanks. By faith. We can have another one. I was telling her, what if the Lord makes a miracle? No, I don't want those sort of miracles. But the Lord, let's read it. And let's read it. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I'm your shield, your very great reward. But Abraham said, oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up in the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall be your offspring. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited to him as righteousness. And then Paul comes in the New Testament, and he does the same to us. In Romans 3:28, he quotes this thing, and he says, because we believe in the Lord, because we believe in what he's done, is counted to us as righteousness as well. 3:28, it says, where then is boasting? 27, it is excluded on what principle? On that of serving the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? And he continues. And then in chapter 4, he goes on to talk about Abraham. Abraham, he couldn't have kids. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered on this matter? If, in fact, Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. This is what we live. And what did Abraham believe? In one word, you shall have a son. And what has the Lord promised us today? You will be saved if you believe in Jesus' name. If you believe in God's son. How many here has believed in God's son? Amen. We have believed in the Son of God. We have believed in something that we haven't seen. I was telling my wife when we were, my tears came to my eye because I always remember her grandpa, which is my grandpa as well. And I said to her, when we die, because I put a picture of my mother-in-law when David graduated from year 6, and my mother-in-law is with the Lord. What will happen when we die? Of course, I'm going to be sad because I'm not going to see my kids. I'm not going to see my grandkids. I hope I have some grandkids by them. I'm going to be sad. But I'm going to look forward to look at my grandma, my grandfather, her grandma, her mom, maybe my mom by then, if I live that long. So, why do I believe that? Because the Lord has promised me. One of the last things I said to my grandma, I will see you again, grandma. And maybe by then, I will see you maybe younger. You will not be with all your body all sick. You will be one. And that's when I see her. And when the resurrection comes, we're going to have new bodies. And we have believed. How many believe that? How many believe here that the Lord has promised that for us. We have believed that. This is our faith. That Jesus, God raised Jesus from the dead. He will raise us from the dead. Amen. The word of the Lord. We have to believe. Incredible things. When have you seen somebody coming back from the dead and stay alive forever? Never. Only Jesus. He's the first fruits. We are told not to run after other sources of knowledge. I don't mean science, okay? I don't mean going to uni. This morning, I was thinking about you and how you are, what you're studying. When somebody dies, you have to know how they die. You have to document. So she has to use reasoning, intuition, yeah? Maybe he went this way and then boom, he got whack. But some people go to mediums. Some people go to speak to the dead. Because in some beliefs, the dead will know the future. The dead don't know anything. They're dead. Either they are down there or they're up there. They don't know. The Bible says in Isaiah, and this is very important, and if you take out, and if you want to answer somebody who goes to mediums, who go to consult to the dead, if you wanna have a response, take this verse down. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 19 and 20. When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Remember that show, Medium, years ago? Yes, and some police people use mediums to let them know where the bodies are. So this is in our culture. Again, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper in matter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, meaning this, to the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. So if a preacher comes here and starts talking to you about visions, about dreams, about, oh, I've been to heaven, oh, I've been to hell. Oh, yeah, Jesus has done that. Jesus did it. Why should I listen to you? Why should I listen to them? Jesus went to hell, according to Peter, to Hades. And now where's Jesus? Sitting where? Sitting? The right hand of the Father. And what does that mean? That, what did he say? All authority is given to me. All authority to me. On earth and in heaven. All authority. Who's ruling now? Jesus. Jesus. So we don't need to consult anybody else. And we don't need to listen to somebody. Maybe they have a good testimony. Maybe they had too much tamales or too much tacos before going to sleep. And they had this vision. And maybe they did have some sort of spiritual experience. But this is what I'm following. This is what we're following. Amen? We're not going to go straight. Because I have to take into account that people have visions. The Bible says that they were in Joel. Yes, the last days, people will speak in new tongues, have visions. The elderly will have visions. The elderly will have dreams and visions. And all those things will happen, yes, but they have to happen according to this. Because somebody said that this is Latin America. She died, and I went to heaven, and I saw two thrones. And I said, oh, wait a minute. The Bible says there's only one throne, and Jesus is sitting in it, along with the Father, if you read chapter 22 of Book of Revelation. So how come you have a vision, you say, that you see two thrones, but the Bible says there's only one throne? So that's I go with this, I'm sorry, I'm not going with what you're saying. Well, to start finishing up, because there's a lot of things I want to say. One, two, yes, all these things are all over the place. Going back to teaching our children, there's a Deuteronomy 6:4. If you want to follow me, Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible, the second law, Deuteronomy, the book from the law that is most quoted by Jesus. He says this, something that I taught my children, but I never told them the rest. I just tell them about it. 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And Jesus added something else, "and with all your mind," in the New Testament. "These commandments that I give to you are to be upon your hearts." Listen to this, those of us who are parents. And it doesn't matter if they're already grown up, 25 or, I don't know, 50. Yes? He says, "Impress them on your children." Impress them on your children. This is a command. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. You notice that the greatest commandment is, which is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord with all your heart. And the second commandment is, and love your neighbor as yourself. But in the law, this is tied up with teaching your children. That's what I said in the, when you started. This is a younger Andrew. And I said, oh, it's great. Because Andrew has impressed the law of the Lord in his son. And his son is following, in a way, his footsteps. Same like I hope that my children, even though they may not be here, I'm not saying that they have to be here. I'm not saying that David will become a pastor. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that you'll become a pastor. But what I'm saying is that they follow the Lord. They're faithful to the Lord. And we're supposed to impress them. My brothers and sisters, as parents, we can achieve things in our work or in our professional lives. But the best thing we can live, and we can live a house, we can live a state, whatever. But the best thing we can live our children with is love for the Word of God. The love for the Word of God. That cannot be replaced by anything. No gold, no fame. And if we have children that have walked away, believe in the Word of God that they will come back. Believe that they will come back too. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you and your house will be saved. Believe. Believe. That's all I'm saying. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Have you seen the Jews how they pray in the wall? So in the walling wall, tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. There you go. That's why they write them on the door and the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This last part, my wife didn't allow me to do. I wanted to put a mezuzah. My dad, we had mezuzahs when we were growing up, but no, too much. So what is a mezuzah? Mezuzah is a piece of wood that you go like this when you go in and when you go out of the house, and it's the Ten Commandments, the first letter of the Ten Commandments. That's what it is. So, okay, let me finish then. I can give you this. There's some other things in the back. What I wanted to do today is to encourage you to love the Word of God. I love what you did this morning, that's one of my favorite movies too. I think that's the best, and this is not me. None of that I think. My Old Testament lecturer used to tell me that was the best movie on Exodus, even better than Charles Heston's. I know, I like it too, but Even better. So if you want to watch, you want to have a feeling. Every time I see the movie, I remember, I always tell my children, see, the Lord came to us and took us out of Egypt. We were slaves, and the Lord took us with a mighty hand. With a mighty hand. And when the Bible talks about mighty hand, have you seen Pharaoh? You seen the Pharaoh, Wendy? Have you seen those things when Pharaoh is with a big how do you call it? Yes, with a big spear. That's what he's talking about, because with a mighty hand. So what the Lord is telling is Pharaoh doesn't have the mighty hand. I have the mighty hand. God beat up Pharaoh and all his gods. And God will beat up all of our enemies and put them under our feet. Amen. That's the promise. And that enemy can be represented as a disease, as a trial, as something that you're going through that you don't want to tell anybody. As having issues with parents, having issues with your spouses, having issues at church. That can be anything. I encourage you this morning, trust in God's word. Like I said, we were giving our testimony on YouTube the other day, and my wife cry, because to us, when they kick us out of the church in Barum, I don't blame them. I mean, they were being influenced by somebody else, by another spirit. It was so hard for us. I mean, when Natalie and Amanda came crying, they're going to kick us out, and I didn't know. I didn't know. Nobody told me. They knew before, because they were so much against us, because we stood up for Jesus. And I said, Lord, I'm your servant. I serve you. I choose the way of the Lord. I choose to believe you. And that things happen. Yes, we lost. We lost. But the Lord didn't leave us there. The Lord didn't leave us in the gutter. At the moment where we didn't think that nothing will save us, the Lord came and gave us a place to live. But we have to suffer. And why am I saying this? Because to finish up, there's a lot of other scripture that I have here. I encourage you to do it. And if you want it, I can send it to you on email. We are supposed to die for this. Do you know? We're supposed to die for this. They told me, Lewis, if you don't say yes to this, this is years ago, remember the Baptist Union, years ago, you are going to kick you out, you're going to be out, think about your family, think about you, think about your ministry. I said, no, no, nothing can compare to the love of Jesus. Nothing compares to what he did for me on the cross. So I'm not going to say yes to you. Okay. I lost being ordained. I lost my church. I lost my house. I lost my income. Everything. But all of that is worth for what Jesus has promised. My brothers and sisters, what Jesus has promised is more worth than anything on earth. And if you're faithful, the Lord will be faithful to you. And let me finish with this. Let me finish with this. In Revelation chapter 6:9. This is a bit funny to me, because even in heaven we're complaining. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. Let me tell you again. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They call out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge your blood? How long, Lord?" Then each of them were given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer and listen until a number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed, as they had been, was completed. Sometimes we're going to be called to give the ultimate price, our lives. We haven't gone there yet. Are we ready? Do we believe God's promises? Amen. Do we believe that much? Are we sure that He has promised and He will keep His promise to us? That we're giving, that we're willing to give not only our incomes, not only our commodities, but our very lives to gain that price that He has promised on the cross. Brothers and sisters, Jesus accomplished our salvation. Jesus came back. Amen. And this month, we're remembering that He came to earth for the first time when He was born. In 4 months' time, we're going to remember when He died. But every time we have this, we remember that He's coming for us, that He's not dead, that He didn't lie, that He accomplished. Believe in me, and you will have eternal life. That's what we're aiming for this morning and every day. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Altona Baptist Church is a church that believes in you, Lord. When I saw all those hands going up that they believe what you have promised, Lord, look at those hands, look at those lives, that they want to have relationship with you. And if anybody here this morning doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, I encourage them to know Jesus, to know the real Jesus, not the one that they show us for Christmas in a manger. No, He did more than that. He died on a cross, and after that, He came back from the dead. He conquered death. He conquered sin. And He has promised anybody who believes in Him that He will resurrect him in the last day. And we will not be judged, because the judgment has come upon Jesus Himself on the cross. Thank you, Lord. Because this is the gospel that you have given us, that we believe in you and we carry our lives accordingly. Help us to during the week, Lord. Help us that if we're going to strive, we're going to trials, that we hold on to you. And even if you don't answer how we want you to answer, let us trust that God is in control, that Jesus is King, and He'll eventually bring everything to right. In the name of Jesus, amen.